The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Back, final hour of the show at 8:03, a good looking Saturday morning, 72 today, 75 tomorrow, maybe some showers late in the afternoon tomorrow. Good day for riding, driving, yarding, or perhaps for my next two guests, a good day to simply find a comfortable chair, a pillow, a blankie, and just wrap it up. So pleased to be joined back in studio. This is something we used to do on a regular basis.
Yes.
And I'm only on once a week now, so we don't get to do it as often as we did. In fact, you've filled in for me before when
yes.
I was on a different station. That voice is the Senate Minority Leader for the Colorado GOP, Chris Hulbert. And this has been Happy Day here on Wake Up with Randy Corporan. And the very first happy thing on my list, 6 o'clock this morning, was the end of the 2019 Colorado State Legislature.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah. 120 days. By Constitution, it has to end on that 120th day. And one of the things I'm sure we'll dig into is whether there's likely to be a special session. We've got Patrick Neville on the line as well. Why don't we bring him on in before we get started? And I got to tell you, Patrick, I wasn't sure yesterday and the day before when I was reaching out to you guys whether this would come together. One look at Chris Hulbert and the tired, exhausted look on his face. I can just imagine how both – as a trial lawyer, man, I know what it's like to do marathons, you know, for a week or two. But as I think I texted you and as I just told Chris before we went on air, in those trials, it doesn't last 120 days, and opposing counsel is not making all the rules. I just don't know how you guys have done it, man. Tell me.
Right. Yep, I'm sure Chris probably looks much like I do.
Yeah.
I like your comfortable chair, pillow, and blankie. That's gonna sounds good to me right now.
Yeah, is that doable for both of you? You're going to get to take a day or a weekend of rest and be doted on by your loving family? And
there have been a lot of invitations and requests. I could be playing golf or shooting or speaking at events. And,
yeah.
There was a Lincoln Day dinner, I think, up in Adams County tonight, and I've just said, no, I need some time.
Yeah, how about you, Representative Neville?
I'll get the day off, but later tonight I'm going to Elbert County for a shooting event they have there. But, you know, shooting's like yoga for me. It relaxes me and calms me. So.
Yeah, you bet. Well, in light of all of those circumstances, it means a great deal to me that you'd both take some time to join us this morning for really the first official recap now that the session is over. So, Patrick, since you're on the phone, I guess we'll go to you first. Let's just have maybe your thoughts, your reflections so far now that you're, 8 hours since the guaranteed constitutional termination of the 2019 legislature?
Yeah, it was definitely a rough session. I mean, I think the analogy I used with Sean Boyd last night is crushing. It seemed like it would add some weight to us and then add another weight, and then you get a new boulder pushed back. There was a lot of bad stuff that came our way between, you know, us and the Senate. The Senate did great work this year. We were able to actually have some successes and defeat some stuff in the complete minority. So, you know, proud of that, but overall it was not a good session by any means. I mean, there's red flag, a bunch of other bills. There's a bunch of health care bills that came out that are going to probably end up raising the cost instead of lowering the cost of health care. And then just a bunch of other climate change regulatory bills that are coming through that are just going to add to that drip, drip, drip effect of the cost of living crisis that we have in Colorado. And they're just going to keep increasing the cost of living because all of those compliance costs get added back to the consumer and eventually just raise the cost of living. That's part of the reason we have such a problem with that in Colorado, and I don't think this session helped it at all.
It's House Minority Leader Patrick Neville, and I do think some good things came out of all of the horror that we saw in the legislature, the rallying of citizens, the steady drumbeat of citizens who showed up day after day after day, the groups that have popped up to challenge certain legislators and perhaps even recall people who've been in support of Red Flag and other things. I'm so glad you guys are going to be here for a while so we can cover all of that. Chris, let's get your initial reflections in your first half day since the end of this 120 days of hell. Senator Holbert.
Extremely proud of all members of the Senate Republican Caucus. There was a team effort this year, and the strengths of each member became evident as we worked through that 120-day session. The process is slow, and people advocate to us, vote no, stop the bill, kill the bill. But the mathematical reality for Leader Neville and I is that we don't have enough votes, Republican votes, to stop bills. The Democrats hold more than a simple majority in both chambers, and if they hang together and keep their calendar moving, they can vote through anything they want to, and we mathematically cannot stop them. What we did in the Senate, starting with the oil and gas bill, Senate Bill 181, months ago, was start to slow down that process. And at the same time, Democrats were rather wide-eyed and kept introducing big bills and not getting them through their committees and to the floor fast enough. And we were able to build this logjam at the end to where they really needed to get some of those big issues out of the way. The first change that we saw shift was the family leave bill that became a study. And that was one that I kept reminding the majority leader and the president, you're not going to have time to do that and all these other dozens of bills. And finally, they started to prioritize. Family was the first one. Vaccinations went away. Huge change on sex ed yesterday, or day before, I guess. But that was passed by the House last night. We saw some of those big rocks in the river, to use a Senator Mike Johnson-ism, start to shift, and some of them went away, some of them got scaled back in a very significant way. So proud of my team, proud of Leader Neville and the House Republicans. We don't have the votes, but we know the rules, we know the process, and we used it to our benefit whenever we could.
Both of you guys are friends. We go back to long before you guys were in leadership positions. I think I met you when you were in the House.
Yes, sir.
As Leader Neville is. So, you know, Chris and Pat are just normal ways. But because we have listeners, because this is the end of the session, I want people to know who we're talking to. So I'm going to refer to you as, don't get awkward, Senator Holbert, and to Patrick as Representative Neville,
quite right.
So people know who we're talking about. And I guess the next question I'd like to ask you guys, and Leader Neville, it's going to be hard for me too. Representative Neville, I'll have you weigh in first. How are the two of you able to work together to coordinate activities, to plan on how to, I don't know, slow down bad things, run interference, rally the troops? Are you guys in two separate worlds? Or is there a close working relationship? Talk about that for a minute.
Well, there's definitely a close working relationship, but there also is, I would say, it's probably both. There's two separate worlds, too. It's a lot of times once something is in the Senate, we have nothing to do with it. We don't know what's going on. But Chris does a good job of, hey, this is going to come over to you. Here's what we did on this, and kind of give you some hints on how that works. Our staffs do the same thing, so we can share some of our policy analysis and some of the messaging points that worked well, and then some of the strategy too. And so, some of the same strategies that Chris used, we used and we popped up early. And I know with the 181, we definitely ramped up. I was proud of my team on that. We ramped up and started debating the journal and all the little different things, and that really scared the House Democrats. I think they got the hint earlier than the Senate Democrats did, but they saw what was going on and were kind of shocked and said, okay, let's how do we talk about some amendments to bring the temperature down on this bill? And a lot of those tactics started in the Senate, and we were happy to use them in the House too, and I hope that we were able to share some good points with the Senate as well.
And Representative Neville, when you use we're all immersed in this stuff. You guys, of course, far more than me or almost anybody. But when you say 181, which bill are you talking about?
Right. So that was the oil and gas bill that decimated. The way it came out of the Senate was really, really bad. And, you know, we were able to put maybe a slight coat of polish on it, but, you know, it's still a really bad bill. But we, at the end of the day, we were able to save jobs. Where, you know, it was pretty amazing we were able to do that when you had the governor and Steve Fenberg telling the Speaker of the House, no amendments, pass it clean. And we were able to actually get some true amendments on it, like a true local control amendment for Weld County. Was a big deal. And at the end of the day, some people will still have food on their table, but a bad bill. But again, that's the mathematical position we were in. What are we trying to work to get?
Yeah, no, you can't stop them when you ain't got the numbers, but you can sure slow things down. I would just suggest, you know, if rather than giving bill numbers, say the oil and gas bill, the sex ed bill, the whatever, because then people will have an idea about what we're talking about. And I want to encourage everybody, these gentlemen are going to stay with us a while. If you'd like to call in, just say thank you, have specific questions, feel free. 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971, already getting texts. This would be the first one that you would expect from Jan Cook, one of the superstar activists out there. She says, please tell Chris and Patrick, that is Senator Holbert and Representative Neville, thanks for fighting for Coloradoans. The legislative session was the worst in decades. Thankfully, they had some wins, including a woke citizenry. And that's kind of what I was getting at a minute ago. We knew lots of bad things were going to happen. I think you guys were more effective at slowing down, stopping, or at least softening some of the damage than anybody expected that you could be. But a lot of that was as a result of how awake the citizenry became. I mean, the Liberty Movement, the Tea Partiers, just the Republican activists, the independents who care that our state does not turn into California, got more invested in this session than I've seen really since 2013 when we recalled Democrats the last time over a bad gun bill. What's your comment on that, Senator Holbert?
First and foremost, thank you, Randy, Peter, Stefan, 710 KNUS, and all of the listeners out there, thank you.
Yep, Chuck and Julie, Jimmy, Chuck, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Chuck and Julie, you made a difference. How? And I want to give a shout out right now to Leader Neville. I was listening to him talk to Peter one morning, and Leader Neville pointed out that on the heroin injection site bill, we hadn't seen a bill yet, and we were moving past bill deadlines, and that clicked in my head. Oh, wait a minute. He's right. And immediately your emphasis here at 710 shifted not just opposing the concept, opposing a bill that didn't exist yet, but sending advocacy into Senate President Leroy Garcia and Majority Leader Steve Fenberg. Don't sign the forms. What forms? They have to sign forms to waive deadlines on bills. And Leader Neville pointed that out just in a comment to Peter Boyles one morning. I was sitting on hold and I'm like, oh, wait, he's right. And you guys took that opportunity, communicated that out to your listeners. They started railing on, don't sign those deadline extension forms, and we never saw that bill. Once a bill's introduced, it's very hard to stop in our process, and we don't have the votes to do that. But the listeners out there, Jan and Joy Overbeck, have been driving huge advocacy. It reminds me so much of that other station you used to be on and the communication opportunities that we have out to the listeners. It built a network and a cohesiveness we've not had since you were on that other station. I am so grateful.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because I was having that very conversation here. You know, 710 KNUS is putting on this Save Our State rally.
Yep.
And it's the same night as our Tea Party meeting, second Tuesday. We've got a venue reserved and everything. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what do I do here? And, of course, I joke about arm wrestling with the management. It was no trouble at all. We've got a discount available to Liberty activists, to Tea Party members, to conservatives who want to attend our Save Our State rally. There's still going to be a Tea Party meeting, and it'll be a good one, as they always are. But if people want to get involved over here with the station that literally has replaced the station that I was on before, we had a whole day,
yes,
three shows,
yes,
morning, afternoon, and evening, that were dedicated to liberty activism. We were always in touch with you and Patrick and Lori Sane and Vicky Marble and
Ted Harvey.
And that went away,
yes,
completely because, yes, of bad management, bad decisions. And 710 has stepped into that role.
Yes.
And this is a station that, you know, small station that has done so amazingly well, but it's taken on the conscience of Colorado.
Yes.
And
listeners out there know where to listen, know where to go. That's what we had on another station. Ken or Jason or you would call me up and say, hey, what's actually going on behind the scenes? We're seeing this story, something erupted at the Capitol. What's actually going on? And, you know, okay, well, here's what's going on. And then I or Ted or someone else would come on for 15 minutes or an hour and talk about that. And then people out there in the world would say, oh, real news, truth,
and
understanding.
We could drive people to the steps of the Capitol, to those hearing rooms, to the events that go on, and there's no place. That's why I say in the morning, Saturday morning's only live local conservative Saturday morning show in all of Denver.
I don't know who I'm stepping on, but if we could get you back on weekday evenings to be able to do that debrief at the end of the day, was gold.
They'd have to get rid of Mark Levitt. I don't think that's going to happen. But we've got callers on the line as well. Any comments on the relationship, Representative Neville, the relationship with 710 CAN-US and our listeners?
Yeah, that was huge for us, absolutely huge, to be able to have that. It was kind of funny. I was sitting in the office one day, and something came up, and I was sitting there with Assistant Minority Leader Van Winkle, and he's like, well, how do we get this out? And I think I sent a text to Julie, and she's like, yeah, I'll have you on in an hour. I was like, wow, this is amazing. We actually have a microphone here that is going to push the message out. And we laughed and said, is this how the Democrats feel when they can just immediately pipe up and get some press story written that they want?
Yeah.
And for once, we actually had some you know, so something similar that we could push out and drive people out. And it's something that Chris and I started early on, right after the election. We saw what happened. Our focus became, let's not do so much inside baseball Capitol stuff, is let's work on getting the messaging out, getting the message out to the people so that they could actually come in and influence the process too. So that was tremendously helpful. We couldn't have had as many wins as we did without having that.
Well, and you guys have make yourselves available. I mean, today, Saturday, after 120 days of pure hell, late nights, all-nighters, longest week of the summer for you guys, I'm sure, and we haven't even gotten to the summer yet. And here you are for an hour on Saturday morning to say thanks and to give everybody the perspective. So it's a great relationship. I love it. Phone lines are loading up. I'd like to take a break. When we come back, we'll let listeners ask their questions. We've got some details on the sex ed bill, which did get through, but some good differences were made. I also want to invite everybody to that 710 KNUS Save Our State rally. If you want the discount, just send me an email, 710knus.com, wake up with Randy Corcoran, big red button that says email the show, and I'll get you a 5% discount on VIP tickets or general admission tickets. May 14th at Infinity Park in Glendale. We'll see how many legislators we can get. We're trying to get Tea Party leaders and recall group leaders. This is going to be a time to come together, say thanks, get motivated for the summer. And something else we'll talk about when we come back, there is very, very much to do now that the legislature's out of session to get ready for next year, and especially next year's elections. So hope you'll all stay with us. Phone lines are full. 821, wake up with Randy Corcoran. We'll continue with Senator Hulbert, Representative Neville, Republican leadership, the good guys in the State House, when we continue on 710 KNUS.
The Save Our State rally, Tuesday night, May 14th at Infinity Park in Glendale. Get tickets at 710knus.com.
Hey, as long as we're fighting, we got a fighting chance. Welcome back. Final hour. Final half hour now. Wake up with Randy Corcoran. So good to have you along. Senate Minority Leader Chris Hulbert in studio. House Minority Leader Patrick Neville on the phone. And yes, Chris did go stretch out on the couch during the break. I wonder what Patrick was doing during the break. Pat, are you in an easy chair right now? Are you lying down on a bed?
No, not quite yet.
Right.
No, my wife's getting ready to go to a women's retreat at her church, so I went and talked to her and hugged her a little before she heads out to do that.
Very good. All right, well, we had a caller call in wondering about our Save the State rally, whether membership in the Wake Up with Randy Corcoran binder full of deplorable women qualifies for the 5% discount. And yes, it does on VIP and general admission. So just send me an email. We'll get you the code for the discount tickets. And I don't know if you guys will be sufficiently recovered, but I know we're going to want to get, we'd love to have our legislative heroes at that event. It's a week from Tuesday now on May 14th, Infinity Park in Glendale. So, Chris, you were giving me a couple of things that you wanted to make sure you got a chance to talk about, including a personal experience at the beginning of this session. No?
A personal experience. Maybe,
well, yeah, some attacks that were coming your way. Okay, I guess I misunderstood. Patrick, what have you learned about the value of trying to work with Democrats with an agenda that this is that is as radical as this one? Are there compromises to be made? Is there a reason to try and, you know, negotiate? We always hear that we need bipartisan cooperation. When we've got a left that has gone so far, it seems hard for me to understand how you could ever compromise with that.
It is difficult. You know, I think the biggest thing that I learned is you can kind of negotiate the temperature of what you're going to bring to a certain bill, a certain degree. So I think in the past, different leadership would often say, okay, I'll be a yes if you make these changes. I never did that, never once. Never agreed to vote yes on a bill. You know, some of the major ones, unless they got amendments, it was, you know, do you want to be here for 8-12 hours on this bill? Or do you want to be here for an hour? Because if you make these changes, it's going to make it harder for us to argue against this for 12 hours. So that's kind of how some of the negotiations went. And then, of course, every now and then you do have those bills that you can agree on. So when you have those little nuggets, sure. You know, I was happy to join some bills with some Democrats and sign on to them. Have no issue with that as long as we agree, but definitely not compromise your principles.
I don't expect either one of you to comment negatively at all about any folks in your own caucuses on the Republican side. But another thing that was very, I think, beneficial for this session with all the problems that it has is that we really did get to learn where people stand. People are forced to put up or shut up when it comes to voting on some of these very controversial bills. For instance, I was sorry to see Republican support on the sex ed bill. But I understand now that I've been provided some information that a bill that was guaranteed to pass because it was a priority of the Democrats was made better by Republican pushback. And Chris, why don't we, or Senator Holdert, why don't we start with you on the sex ed bill?
Yeah, and I want to disclose it's frustrating. I don't want to be a spokesperson for House Bill 1032. I don't really want to talk about the good changes that happen, because quickly people start to think that I'm advocating for the bill. I voted no for the bill, and I did what I could to force change. We thought we might have that postponed indefinitely. That's legislative terminology for killed in the committee. And then we thought we might be able to actually have it killed on the floor. But in the end, the sponsors decided to offer what we call a strike below that guts the bill. It strikes below the title, the language that's proposed in statute. And with a disclosure that, no, I'm not trying to call this a good bill, the good changes that happened were that both district charter schools and institute, Colorado Charter Institute, Charter School Institute, CSI. Both of those types of charter schools get complete opt-out. The requirement for human sexuality instruction that it not teach or endorse religious ideology or sectarian tenets or doctrine, that was removed from the bill. The requirement to employ gender norms, that was removed from the bill. And again, people might hear me saying these things and say, oh, Holbert's advocating for the bill. No.
The bill was going to pass, yes. But now all of these things are gone, including written notification now is required to parents for gender expression or gender identity programming. Some of these weird things that I, you know, you have to actually go to Google to figure out what in the hell are these leftists talking about.
Sex ed is still optional. No school is required to teach that.
They can teach abstinence still, and they wanted to stop that forevermore.
So, again, I voted no ultimately on the amended version of House Bill 1032. Yesterday I did a little tutorial from the well, and I've had some comments on Facebook. You could go out and find this video on Facebook. You can find it at the General Assembly website, the Friday, May 3rd session on the Senate floor. Senator Paul Lundeen went through some of the policy differences. I talked about the process differences because I love to talk about that stuff. And if you're interested in House Bill 1032, if you have a copy of that bill and it does not have a date stamp in the right margin that says Friday, May 2nd,
then that's not the current copy.
You're looking at the wrong copy. Looking at something that says revised or revised.
And I want to keep it moving. But the most important thing, I think, maybe not the most important, but people were concerned about was that all language was removed that made people believe that teachers were going to be required to, for instance, teach kids how to put condoms on bananas.
I think I might have heard Peter Boyle say that.
And talk about explicit sex acts. That language is gone. Patrick, give us maybe your number one bill that did go through, was inevitable, but because of Republican utilizing the tools and tactics that are available, it was made much, much better, or at least much less dangerous.
Oh, boy, there's quite a few of them, but I would say probably the biggest one that we had was the oil and gas bill 181. I mean, like I said, that had already gone through the Senate. The Senate numbers are even better than the House as far as majority and minority members, so the House has a supermajority. And really, we had little to no hope to get any sort of amendments on it. And getting that Weld County local control amendment on it and then some reasonable language gives them the ability to fight in court a little bit on some of those issues instead of the bill as it came out of the Senate really, really had no chance. And then we also got a professional oil and gas commission, which is a pretty big deal because right now those guys meet basically quarterly and Joe Salazar and his group just packs it up and stirs a bunch of controversy. So this will kind of help get the permitting process moving along too. So again, like Chris with 1032, not advocating for the bill at all, but the changes we got put on were made it slightly less bad. And at the end of the day, we all still voted no against the bill, but those changes were helpful.
Were there any Republicans that signed on to that bill?
No.
Any Republicans that signed on to the sex ed bill?
Yeah, one Republican senator, and Don Corum, Senator Corum from Montrose, took a lot of heat. But we would not have achieved these changes, both the amendments that were offered in Senate committee and then ultimately the strike below on the floor. Wouldn't have gotten there without Senator Corum's.
You know, it's a very important thing for listeners to understand because we deal with the outrage here.
Yes.
And it's well justified, and we express plenty of it ourselves. But sometimes deals are made, decisions are made, because people are looking down the road. Look, I'll get something back in exchange for this, or this bill will be made a lot less bad by something I'm about to do, or it impacts the way people will look at me in the reelection. When you guys are actually in office and have to consider running for office again, it's not just this bill bad, that bill good. There's a world of thought process that has to go into every single decision.
Absolutely. I always want to urge listeners, constituents, keep in mind, Colorado has not become a deep blue state. All we need is a net pickup of two Senate seats in the 2020 elections. That puts us back in a majority, and when we say no, bad bills die.
Yeah.
And we can't do that right now.
Our two guests are Senate Minority Leader, our two tired guests, Senate Minority Leader Chris Hulbert, and on the phone with us, House Minority Leader Patrick Neville. And before we get to our next break, guys, we're getting some texts here. Quick question. Did free all-day kindergarten pass? Representative Neville, I'll give that one to you.
Yes, it did. And we've had Republican sponsorship on that bill for years. Jim Wilson's one of the representatives that's been doing that, I think, for 7 years. He's been sponsoring that bill. And so this year it did get through. There was quite a bit of Republican support for it, too. I did not support that, but it did get through.
All right. Another text on the 710 CANUS app. Text the show. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you to both these guys. They did a great job. That's from Karen. And then speaking of local activists, Joy Overbeck writes in and says, hey, Randy, please thank them for me. Their brilliant strategies took lots of time and effort to work out. When others would have given up because they don't have the majority, you two ran to the fight. Thank you for your courage and chutzpah. Yeah, that's a...
Well, thank you. Joy is known for her chutzpah out in Douglas yeah. County, and to have Joy or Jan out there helping people across Colorado understand what's actually going on, cutting through the noise in a lot of the media coverage and helping people focus on what can be effective. That made a huge difference for us this year.
Anything to say to the two thank yous there, Representative Neville?
Yeah, thank you back. I mean, we're doing our job. These folks aren't, they don't get paid to do it. Like, Chris and I don't get paid much, but we do get paid to do our job.
Yeah.
But these folks are doing it on their own time and their own, and putting their own efforts into it. And again, all that's part of what made us successful. We couldn't have done it without them and this show and this station and all the other folks involved. So it just wasn't us. I appreciate the thank you, but definitely couldn't have done it without a lot of people's effort.
Let's squeeze in at least one call before the next break, and just so you guys can be thinking about it in the final few minutes that we'll have with Senate Minority Leader Chris Hulbert and House Minority Leader Patrick Neville. I want you guys to be thinking about what folks need to know as we move into this off season now with the legislature out, looking ahead to the elections in 2020 and another legislative session next year where you guys can't technically stop anything that the Democrats decide they want to do. But let's squeeze in at least one call. And if you want to thank these guys, 303-696-1971. Frank in Denver's been waiting the longest. Frank, thank you for that. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Randy, first I'd like to thank you for your passion and your patience on taking all these calls, especially that passionate one you had earlier this morning. You listened and you balanced him out, and then your overview and the reason that you bring to the radio waves. And then I'd like to thank Senator Hulbert and Representative Neville for their work and brilliance down there. I think they both must have read Sun Tzu, The Art of War, when in the presence of being outnumbered, you outflank them, outdelay them, outnegotiate them, you know, outdiscuss them, and whatever other tactics they have used down there to defer some of this hubris.
Oh, did we lose him? Okay, well, so sorry about that, Frank. Don't know what happened. But we do need to pause anyway, so I guess it's a good time, and we'll talk to you again next week, I hope. 20 minutes to go until 9 o'clock, final segment of the show with our great in-studio guests and heroes for people who want to prevent the Californication of Colorado, Senate Minority Leader Chris Hulbert, House Minority Leader Patrick Neville. We'll wrap up the show with the gentlemen when we come back on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
The Save Our State Rally, Tuesday night, May 14th at Infinity Park in Glendale. Get tickets at 710knus.com.
Yeah, and since I cannot be at my Tea Party meeting because I'll be at the Save Our State Rally, we are giving incentive to members of the Wake Up with Randy Corcoran binder full of deplorable women, Tea Partiers, conservative activists, etc. Just send me an email on my Wake Up with Randy Corcoran page at 710canus.com, and I will give you the secret discount code. Great day ahead for me. Harley trip down to a very important meeting today, and then I will be driving two radicals by the name of Tom Tancredo, Peter Boyles, to the Pueblo Lincoln Day dinner, where I'm so excited to see James O'Keefe again. I emceed an event for him several years ago. But to meet in person author Jack Cashill, Terry Lakin, just a couple of real heroes in my growth as a conservative activist. In the minutes we've got left with Senate Minority Leader Chris Hulbert and House Leader, Minority Leader Patrick Neville, Chris, I'd like you to run down just real quick the bills that we did stop from happening, and then we'll ask Representative Neville to talk about what people should be thinking about as we move ahead. So go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, 710 listeners. You helped kill the heroin injection site bill that never saw the light of day. You helped stop the vaccination bill, liberty, attack on personal liberty, in my opinion, House Bill 1312.
Forget the numbers. Just run them down.
Local rent control didn't happen. Delayed implementation of local minimum wage. The new tax on vaping and tobacco, dead. Family leave. There is no fee tax like we saw with faster.
Yeah, there's a study. It's not an implemented
bill. It's just a study.
And so that's a pretty darn good list. Let's let Daryl thank you guys very, very quickly. Daryl in Denver, welcome. Make it quick, please.
Hey, I just wanted to thank the legislators and the Republicans for killing the vaccination bill that would have given Glasgow Smith Klein $400 million in extra profit.
Yeah.
For vaccinating our kids. It didn't need to be. And also, I just want to let the guys know that most of the opponents were probably Democrats, but they have a change of heart. The comments I'm reading on the Facebook pages, they're really not happy with the Democrats, and this could be an opportunity to step forward. And
yeah,
I think you guys show that.
It's a great point, Daryl. I'm going to drop you just because we're about out of time. We've only got about 3 minutes left. Former Senator Bruce Cairns writes, "Know what minorities fight is like. Way to stand for something to you guys." Thank you for
Bruce. Great to hear from you.
And Representative Neville, really good way to take off from Daryl's call on the blowback against Democrats and how can Republicans and independents who want to save our state take advantage of that as we move into the off season and get ready for next year.
Well, it has already become. I would point to recallcolorado.com. We have an active recall campaign that's going on up in the Greeley area. That's Representative Rochelle Galindo. There's folks up there that are gathering signatures as we speak. They've got until the very beginning of June to get roughly 5,000 plus
Patrick,
signatures.
And Patrick, we got less than 3 minutes, so just get down the list, brother.
Yeah, so that's the best way to do it. Go to recallcolorado.com. Other ones, as they pop up, we'll let you know, keep you informed, let you know how you can help the effort.
And a texter asks about the status of the red flag bill lawsuit. That's something you reminded me you wanted to talk about this morning. Take a minute with that if you can.
Yeah, you bet. So we are on a lawsuit. Rocky Mountain Gun Owners is helping us, and they filed it. We filed a lawsuit based on the fact that there was basically three separate times where they did not read the bill at length. One time was Representative Williams made the motion. They said that wasn't in order. Then Steve Humphrey made the motion, and they brought out several different readers, and you couldn't understand it, so he withdrew the motion. And then later on, Lori Sane said she was going to make the motion, and they said they wouldn't consider it. So they clearly violated Article 5, Section 22 of our state constitution, and we are all on a lawsuit. The three of us, Dave Williams, Lori Sane, and myself, are a party to that lawsuit, and so look forward to hearing more about that.
Yeah, and 710 Texter, be sure to just stay with 710 KNUS because these guys, throughout the rest of the year, before the session starts up again, they'll be available to us. We'll be putting things up on the 710 KNUS website. Follow Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Follow me on Twitter. Follow the Colorado GOP. I loved the retweet that I saw this morning from Colorado GOP where some newspaper asked, "Can John Hickenlooper come from behind again?" Opinion, "Can John Hickenlooper come from behind again?" Colorado GOP opinion, "No." I mean, and this ties in with Karen Cataline, who just texted in. I echo everybody's thanks. What I love most was showing how persistence and humor can succeed, even when all seems hopeless. They proved, talking about you guys and your cohorts down there, they proved it never is hopeless, just staying in the fight. Senator Hulbert?
Well, thank you again, 710. It is such a relief to have this microphone, this voice. Thank you, Randy, Stefan, Peter, Chuck and Julie, everybody here. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you did to help us.
Yeah. Glad you're going to get some rest. And last 15 seconds for you, Representative Neville.
Just to echo that as well. Thank you, thank you, and let's keep it up. I mean, part of the problem is Republicans typically go home after things like this, and we just have to keep the noise up and keep the fight up and build the energy, because they'll be back next session.
Well, I can tell you there's a big meeting going on today. We've got center-right coalition on Monday. We've got these recall efforts. We've got the Save Our State rally that 710 KNUS is putting on. Rappo Tea Party, all the Tea Party groups around the state. People are fired up. And I can tell just my own Twitter following has gone from under 2,000 2 weeks ago to almost 2,500. It's because people are getting invested and people are paying attention. So, Patrick, I just want to thank you so much. Have fun at your shooting event tonight. We had a listener who wanted to know about that. Maybe may want to join you. I don't know if it's a public thing. So you can talk to Adam off the air about that. But God bless you, sir. Get some rest, and I know we'll be talking soon.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's it. And Senator, we've got no time. Senator Holbert, you know how I feel about you. We'll do some radio together.
Yes.
During the off season, maybe we can have you in to fill in if I'm gone for any reason.
Would love to do that.
That's it. Craig Silverman is next. I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, never forget, God loves you, and so do I.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.